Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ron, the show, Hughley in today. Clint is off having a good time. We popped open one for you, buddy. But with me today is former Houston Texan. Got that right today. Former Houston Texan, offensive tackle, offensive lineman, all over. Wade Smith is with us. And Wade, we're not going to play around, baby. We get right into this. I love this thought, man. Bill O'Brien, B.O.B., he is, if things go right, if the Houston Texans take the next step, like he said, hey, I want us to take the next step. We're not winning in March. We're not winning in April. We want to win in January. If they take the next step, ooh, it's going to be some people hot around here, because he can just slap that table and say, I told you.
Yeah, man. He's put himself in position by the moves that he's made in this offseason. Since he's taken the reins, and everybody knows now that he is the GM of the Houston Texans, and he's put himself in a position where if things work out, if the Texans make it to an AFC Championship game, if the Texans win a Super Bowl, it's going to be like, you know what, he's going to stand on top of the table and say, I told y'all suckers. I knew what I was talking about, and you know what, I ain't mad at it. I'm not mad at the fact that he's put himself in that position.
Oh, but he better be right, though.
Because he better be right. That's the thing. But in the past, there's been a lot of guesswork of trying to figuring out who really made this move, when it was Rick Smith here, when it was Brian Gain here, when Brock Osweiler became the quarterback of the Houston Texans a few years back. It was that an owner deal? Was that Bob McNair that said we need to go out there and get a quarterback? And of course that's the result, and Bill O'Brien didn't necessarily want those things to happen. He just had to, you know, be the good soldier. Now all of those questions of and finger pointing and all these different directions goes out the wayside. Right now it's like, listen, Bill O'Brien has brought in guys like Eric Murray, Randall Cobb, David Johnson. All these guys, consensusly, people are saying, you know what, you overpaid. You know, when it comes to Eric Murray, you overpaid for a guy that really hasn't done much in this league. You overpaid for Randall Cobb, for a guy that's a good player, but he's making $4 or $5 million a year than what he made last year, and he's getting older. David Johnson, a guy that hasn't had a good year since 2016, and you brought in a bad contract. Based off of their 2019 performance, you say, well, damn, this is terrible value. But if these guys work out, he's going to be like, I was the one that saw this. I projected it happening, and I was right. Yeah.
He should be. Here's the thing, though. I got a couple of thoughts with it. Yes, that's the end game. That would be great. Now, I would wonder if we did a poll of how many people in the Houston Texan fan base are out of it would think that he'll have the ability to be able to stand on that table and say that. And to me, if he gets this team to the AFC Championship game, Wade, I think he can stand on the table and say that. I think that's the next step. Nobody believes that they can pull that. Hell, I've been seeing 7 wins for this team. 8 wins for this team. So I think if he could do that, then he'll be able to stand on the table and say that. But because when you describe this, it makes you go to his mentor, right? It makes me think of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has made a lot of weird moves, and people have been like, at first, like, what? But then he started to win, and you just say, okay, Bill's probably right. Obviously, this Bill O'Brien has not won at the level that he has. Does he deserve to be able to do this? Like, I wonder, has he done what he should be able? Has he done enough to be able to have this type of power to even have the ability, if it goes well, to stand on the table. I think that's a lot of things that people question and wonder, and I'm not so sure. I think he has won and done things at a far better in a far better manner than people give him credit for, because people just think, always make excuses of why four division titles isn't as big of a deal as it should be. But I think he's done that, but I don't know that I necessarily believe he's done enough to be able to just reign over the franchise in the way of his predecessor.
Well, first and foremost, has he done enough to this point to have this much power? Evidence says no. But I'm never going to knock the hustle. If you can figure out a way to make yourself raise up through the ranks, and without necessarily even putting in and having the performance to warrant it, I'm never going to knock that. But if he was to get to an AFC championship game this year, he would be able to stand on the table and say, I'm the smartest guy in the room. I told y'all suckers. And going forward, stop questioning me so much. Because that is how it is in New England. That is how it is with Bill Belichick. Back in the day, I remember it's 2002 or 2003. I can't remember which year it was. But they won the Super Bowl. Or he gets there, he trades away, like, Lawyer Malloy. And people were like, what the hell are you doing trading away Lawyer Malloy? Like, this dude is he's a consummate professional, big-time, all-pro, pro bowler.
Loved
each and
in
every
that
year,
locker room.
Loved in one of the leaders. He got rid of him. But once the Patriots start winning Super Bowls, people stop questioning them. You trade away a guy like Jamie Collins, a young up-and-coming player that you have a disagreement with as far as it goes with his contract and the deal that he wants to get, trades him away. Bill Belichick is enough of a hustler that he trades him away, still goes out, wins, but then also brings the dude back a few years later and gets him for less than he would have what he was asking for back in the day. So if Bill O'Brien is able to pull this off, because and I'm saying it's pulling it off because – Basing it off of face value and what you're seeing, it's not going to work.
Is he going to be able to pull it off, Wade? Straight up. Like, let's get there. Houston, you could jump in 2713-5724-610. Is he going to be able to pull it off?
If he gets out of his own way, he can pull it off. And that is the absolute key when you talk about scenario. When you look at the roster on the offense, they have enough there to be a damn good offense. Can Kelly step up? Can Tim Kelly step up and be the offensive coordinator that a lot of people on the inside are saying that he can be? Can Bill O'Brien get out of his own way and just be the head coach, make the decisions that you need to make when it comes to clock management, decision-making like that, higher-level thinking? Can he continue to add pieces throughout the roster, throughout the season as the GM? If he can stay out of his own way and just stick to that, then the Texans can get to that level. The problem is all the evidence points to that not being what's going to go down. And so that's the part that you have concern if you're a fan of the Houston Texans.
This is interesting. Wade Smith, Ron, the show, Hughley in. We're here until 6 o'clock. This might be tough. This might be tough for some people in the Texan fan base to listen to that you're listening to right now. But, Wade, I get the feeling that there are real fans around here who don't want him to reach that. I think there are real fans that are so entrenched in being right, because there are people out here, and I know we see them on the text line, Twitter. There's no way that this team can get to a better place without DeAndre Hopkins. Just can't even make themselves believe it. No matter what they've put together, they're going to be right on that. And I'm telling you, I think if Bill O'Brien got to that space that we're just talking about, AFC Championship game, I think there are some Texans fans out there who text and call and every day with us who would not be happy. They may not outwardly say it, but they'll be like, damn, he was right.
Listen, there's
he
no
was right.
there's no question about it that there is a cross-section of people that are Texans fans, die hard, that do not want to see Bill O'Brien be successful because they don't want him to be here. They want him gone. They wanted him gone yesterday. They wanted him gone 6 weeks ago. They wanted him gone 6 months ago. They looking back on it, they wish he wasn't here when he got signed 6 years ago. That's just how much they do not mess with Bill O'Brien. And I can understand that. I can understand you having that feeling because he's done things over the years that rubs people the wrong way, so they don't want to see him be successful. I'm of the camp like this. Listen, I am a former Houston Texan, but that's the team I identify with. That's my squad. So I don't care about necessarily the higher-ups and the front office guys, because as a player, you didn't really care about the higher-ups and the front office guys. It was about the guys on the field. It was about your brothers and the brotherhood going out there trying to win a championship. And I still have brothers that are on that team. And there's been new guys that come along that I'm really rooting for day in and day out. So I want to see those guys win. I don't get to the point where I'm so discombobulated or so against somebody that is a higher up to where I'm gonna just be like, you know, I hate this person, I dislike this person that much, because I don't know him that well. And I don't think any fan knows Bill O'Brien. They know what they've heard about him, but they don't know him personally. So I can't get myself together to just really be against a person like that. But I understand it. I understand the sentiment, I know it exists. It's not something that you're just feeling and you're off show. No, you're on to something there. There is a cross section of people that are Texans fans that do not want to see Bill O'Brien successful, and that will come at the expense of the actual team.
I don't understand it, because I would think as a fan, it's about your team winning, right? Like,
yeah.
To me, that's the ultimate thing is, all right, man, when I come and spend my hard-earned money to watch the game, to go out to NRG, to go out, like, these are memories, man. And this stuff in sports, and you have kids too, man, sports is sometimes you push down to your kids, and these are things that you remember with. Like, it's about winning. And I think there are so many people hell-bent on saying Bill O'Brien is an idiot and he's wrong, and there is no way you can let Clowney go, you can let Hopkins go, you can make what people think is a bad trade for Tunsil in some eyes and give up that much and win. No way. And no, I think there are people who would be hell-bent rather the Texans. I'll say it. I think people would rather the Texans lose than have to admit that Bill O'Brien knows what he's doing.
Well, my thing, though, show is this, is that I understand it, and I understand it from this aspect and from this viewpoint. There are fans out there that really get attached to specific players. Understandably.
Oh, I get that. Yeah.
And so when you take away their favorite player, the guy that they bought jerseys for, the guy that came out to their school and spoke to them, or the guy that came to their church, or the guy that, you know, did so many different things in the community, or just their favorite person, they feel some type of way towards you because you're the reason that person is no longer here. So I think that's why I said I would never personally get to that point with somebody that's in the front office or a higher up, as I would call them. But I understand why people would, because people take that personally. And I completely understand why that could be.
Yeah. It's about your team winning. That's it. And speaking of being your team winning, first off, I just want to acknowledge, I just want you all to know this. Lopez, Landry, like J.J. Watt said yesterday, my head ain't in the sand. I hear you. You haters. Yeah, come on, man. Get off my nickname. You're jealous. I know how Puffy feels now. Jealousy and envy. I just want you to know I hear you. Coming up, man, I think the Houston Texans should adopt this strategy when it comes to their offensive football team. They have the pieces and the parts, and if they don't, I think they're failing themselves. We'll get into that next. Ron, the show, Hughley in with you, Wade Smith, and we are off and running today. And Wade, man, I've
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
Just in from Field Yates, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has issued a revised order. Not only will professional sports leagues be allowed to resume play in June, but outdoor stadiums will be allowed to, listen to it, guys, host fans up to 25% capacity.
That is breaking news, Governor.
I tell you what, that is breaking news right there. That's awesome for the great state of Texas. And Hey, Bridget, you know what's funny is that, all right, Greg Abbott is saying now that there's 25% at outdoor stadiums. Are y'all telling me right now that the coronavirus is what's going to be the catalyst to allow the Houston Texans to open up the damn stadium on game days going forward? Like, to me, that's – it took coronavirus to make it happen, but the likelihood of the stadium roof being open seems like it went up 1,000% with this call by Greg Abbott.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's weird because, okay, what are other states going to do? How are we going to do this? You know, if the Texans are allowed to play, does that mean everybody's coming to states that are allowing, you know, stadiums to be 25%? How do you do 25%? Do you skip a seat? How do you prove your family? There's so many question marks with this thing.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's going to force the demand up high. People are going to want to get that 25% ticket. You know what I mean? They're going to want to be part of that 25% that gets access to the games. So I can see people trying to pay an arm and leg just to get into the stadium.
But you would want to go.
Me personally?
You would want to go. Do you feel like you're ready to go to games? Do you feel like you're ready to go out and participate in games?
I think
as a fan.
Yeah, as a fan. Now, okay, I'm not going to just say as a fan, because when I go to the game, I don't go to the game strictly as a fan. I go to the game as, you know, Texans ambassador, all that type of stuff. I'm just going to be all the way honest with you. I'm not going to just speak
20
for,
minutes
you know
in.
What I mean?
Hey,
so right, I'm going to always keep it 100 with you.
Bridget,
always keep it 100 with you.
Texans ambassador speak. You would be, if you could try, Mr. Ambassador, to put yourself in a position, like in the stands around other, like, man.
At 25% capacity, that means you have extra leg room, you got extra arm room, you got about 4 or 5 seats in between each person. That's, to me, that's the best situation you could be at a game. Sometimes people don't like to be around a bunch of people. You know, and some people might look at that and say, you know what, this is awesome because I got more space. Other people might say, well, I hate that because I like the camaraderie, I like a lot of people around me, but I'm a big dude. You know what I mean? When I go to the movie theaters, if my wife is not sitting next to me or my kid, I don't want nobody sitting next to me. So if you're telling me I can go to the game and sit in the stadium and there's like 3 seats to each side of me, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if there'll be a price increase. There's got
to
be.
Got to be. They're going to try to make up the loss.
Yeah, they're
going
to try to get that money.
Well, that sucks.
That's right, 25%. I don't know, man. Let me hear from the people. Are you out there? Are you ready to? I know people are ready to go to games. Can I tell you my problem is, if I go to a game, man, I'm concerned about coming home, because I tell you, like, you know, Bridget, you know this. I'm sorry, Texans ambassador. I just had a newborn. I got a 3-month-old, and like that's a real big concern. Not to mention I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, but that's a concern to me. Like, when I go to a place like that, what do I come in? I ain't going to lie to you. When I go to the grocery store, I've gone to the grocery store and done shopping. I come in and I take the clothes that I had on off, put them in the washing machine and everything before I even go touch my kids,
yeah,
especially my youngest kids. So that's my concern of walking into the place, parking it, all this. Even at 25%, man, you're still going to put yourself. And I understand the part of living in fear. That's just my biggest concern is what I'm bringing home.
Yeah,
that would be the thought for me.
I think that's a legitimate thought, and I don't think anything's wrong with you having concerns about going to the stadium. I think if you would ask me the question, if they just said, you know what, we're gonna open it up and it's gonna be status quo, then I'm like, oh, no, I'm gonna chill and see. I'm gonna see how those first few weeks of games go. But at 25%, there's gonna be plenty of rooms. And when I go to games, there's, you know, only a handful of times when you just that people are really on top of each other. When you're going up escalators, when you're at the stadium, I mean, it's a huge place. So there's opportunities for you to social distance and stay away from people if it really concerns you that much. And you can do, like you said, you can, before you get home, you can wash up, all that type of stuff, and you'll be good to go. But
yeah,
I think there's going to be a large amount of people that's going to do whatever they can to try to get one of those tickets to get into this game.
Let me ask you all both this, and you too, and I want to get to Jack and Stafford here in just a second. But I'm going to ask both of you this. If they said that you had to wear a mask, would you still be going? Would you still be down to go? And like the rule was, you, because I've seen some proposals when opening up stadiums that they want you to wear a mask.
I would throw on me a Houston Texans branded mask in a second and rock it. I mean, I'm the type of person, man, you can make anything look good or you can make anything look lame. You know what I mean? And so if you're telling me I got to wear a mask, I'm going to go out there and get the cleanest mask and the dopest mask that I can get, rock it, and do what I do. You know what I mean? If that's the requirement to get into the game. If you really want to go to the game, you'll be willing to do that. And so there's going to be pushback. Of course, there's going to be clear pushback on anything, especially with how politicizing and things have gotten with this whole idea of wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. But if that's what the requirement was to get into the game, I'd be for it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. If it's the requirement, I do have a problem with it. I think it's a little bit of an obstruction of justice or oppression, pretty much. I know, I get it. But if you, I don't know, there's been a lot of science behind it. And if you're not using those masks correctly, they're actually counterproductive. So I just don't see everybody using those masks in the right way. So I'd have a little bit of problem. I'm a yeller. So, you know, I got to get my voice across, you know,
well, yeah,
I don't need something.
You're restricted. You're restricted. Right?
And you're outside and it's hot and you're, I mean, well, at NRG, it's not bad, but I mean, still, I don't know. I don't see them making that a requirement. If they do, what I think they should do, everybody has to sign a waiver. When you buy that ticket, you are saying, I am knowing the risk that I'm putting myself at by going to this game. Therefore, I can't sue if I end up getting it, you know, or anything like that. Just should be a waiver process.
I just, like, to me, if I'm going to pay this up price, this money, that it's probably going to be more than a normal ticket. If I'm going to pay this, man, I kind of want to be able to really get after it like I want to. And like I tell you, Wade, when I go to the grocery store, I may be alone, but I wear my mask. About 15 minutes in, I'm almost about to pass out. I mean, You gotta get you a new mask, man.
Your mask is too restrictive.
I've tried eight of them. I have to pull it off a little bit to give me a little sniff because I just can't imagine being there four quarters wearing that. If you just missed it, Field Yates reports Governor Abbott saying that not only will the professional teams be able to be opened in the state of Texas, but they're also looking at a place where up to 25% of fans could be allowed in stadiums. Jack in Stafford, what's your thoughts on this?
Hey, good evening, guys, and young lady. Thank you all. The show is great. Hey, I'm going to touch both things real quick. Bill O'Brien, as a fan who spends a lot of money going to the game, I'm out right now. So I'm hitting both of them. It's not just about Bill O'Brien being a bad play caller, not a great coach. It's also about the organization and disrespecting the fans. You can't run your team based on what the fans say. But when you let DeAndre Hopkins go for nothing, when you let Clowney go for nothing, you're disrespecting the fans. And at some point, some of us have made a decision that we're just not down with the Texans. We don't wish them any bad things. I love Deshaun Watson. Glad he's here. He's a great young man, going to be a super player. But at some point, fans have to send a message to the owners that, you know, we're not just, you know, we spend our money, we support you guys, we do everything we can, but then you do things that are totally against what the fans are looking for. And so I'm not going to be going to the game regardless. I live in Stafford, out 90. I'm supposed to drive by NRG to get there. I go out 59 a long way around. Because I don't even want to look at NRG right now. I'm still upset.
Sir.
That's tough right there. That's
sir.
Tough.
I'm sorry, Jack. Yeah. Hang on real quick, Jack. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, I just want you to know what you're describing. You're describing a Lions fan. You're describing a Browns fan. You're describing a Jets fan. I don't want to come at, hey, you fan the way you fan. But don't you think, just tell me, baby. Don't you think you're a little bit too hard? Y'all had won the division four out of the last 6 years. You've had winning seasons. You're going a step. I'm not saying you don't need to be disappointed. I'm not saying that your expectation ain't risen. But good God, the Lions have won a playoff game once in 91 since then. What, do you feel like you're a little strong? You can't drive past the stadium?
I'm not interested in driving by there. I don't want to see Bill O'Brien right now. I'm still hot. But let me say this. We've been down this road before. The Texans are not those other teams because we're talented. We have good teams. We know what the problem is. The ownership should know what the problem is. And when you continue to disregard that, either you're extremely, extremely incompetent or you're just disregarding the facts. Bill O'Brien has no
All right, Jack, I love your passion. I got to go and catch a break. I love the passion. But, man, like, you know, I may get in trouble for this and I may get crushed by some people. But, wait, you played this game. You played 12 years. Don't answer this yet. I got to get this on the other side. You played this. This sounds a little too rough, right?
It sounds a little bit too rough, and we'll get into that when we come back next on the show. And this is not the snow. This is the Clint Sterner show next.
Well, it's not Clint Sterner today. We're popping one open for you. I know you're having a good time somewhere, man. Get that rest and relaxation. Ron, the show, Hughley, Wade, Smith, and Wade. We're just going to have to, and I hope you can run with me, but we're just going to have to just throw this rundown away for just about a half an hour, I feel like.
Hey, man, let's make it happen. I
need you to happen, and I'll listen to Houston. 713, school me, 713-572-4610. Wade, you have played in this league. You know, 12 years, Wade. You know how difficult it is to win. I'm sure you've been on teams that have been really good, playoff-worthy teams, and I'm sure you've been on teams that have been not so good. You can't drive past the stadium? Come on, it's not. We're not here. Listen, I'm going to tell you. I'm moving. I cannot wait. And I love the passion, Jack. I don't want you to. I'm just having a conversation. I love the passion. Jack, Larry, Stephanie, Ocho, everybody I hear from that I'm getting to know, I love it, and I can't wait. And the passion that I'm hearing from the city is one of the reasons why I can't wait to be able to move there and feel it. But come on. Let's get realistic. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to tell you from my experience, Wade. I have been a fan of a baseball team that went 30 years without making it to the playoffs. 30 years. 17 of them, they lost 100 games. 30 years. I could drive past the stadium. The Texans aren't there, right?
Answer me this about that team, though. You're talking about the Kansas City Royals, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so those Royals teams, did they have rosters put together that said, you know what, they should be good enough to win a championship and compete?
Hell no.
So then your expectations were managed, they were tempered, and so you didn't get let down. I think people get to a point, they get to a breaking point where they say, you know what, Getting our hopes up, and then you let us down by making a bad decision here or getting rid of a player there. And people will say, you know what, the hell with it. You know what I'm finna do? I'm finna just not support the team. And that's extremely unfortunate. And I don't think it's that many people that feel that way. When I heard what was it, Jack and Stafford say that he takes 59 so he doesn't come past 90 because he doesn't want to see the stadium. Now that's extreme. But Ace, everybody has their breaking point. Everybody gets to the point where they say, "You know what? I'm gonna take my stand. I'm drawing my line in the sand, and I'm saying, you know what? I'm not finna support him anymore." And I get it. You know, I'm not that person myself. I'm gonna always support my squad because that's my squad. But at the same time, I'm gonna call them on the stuff that goes wrong, and I'm gonna show them love when they do things right. And I think that if you have that mentality, You'll be healthy. You won't get too much stress. You don't want to have that too much stress in your life just from the Houston Texans.
I understand the stress part. I understand everything you're saying, but to go to a point of I'm done, I can't drive past the stadium, I'll go clear out my damn way so I don't have to drive past the stadium, and I'm done giving my let me ask you, how many times in the last 6 years, because that's where it's coming from, how many times in the last 6 years do you think Texans fans seriously believed in themselves that they had a team that could win a Super Bowl?
Last season when they were up 24-0 against Kansas City on the road, they believed.
In the first quarter. Is that the only time in that moment?
That moment is one of the moments, but that moment is the most significant moment because the drop-off from that point was so drastic and so hurtful. That's how you get people driving out of their way because they don't want to see the stadium. And that just happened. That's the last memory of the – and it's actually not the last memory of the Houston Texans. It's that memory, then you backdoor that memory with trading away DeAndre Hopkins, and then this is the result. And like I said, the greater majority of people are not feeling the same way Jack felt, but I get it. Trust me, because I was one of the main ones jumping down in my house, talking noise, to whoever wanted to hear me. And then I just had that complete fall off the cliff, just like the Texans did, and it hurt. And it hurt. And not everybody is built the same way to recover from that. And that's what you get.
I get the understanding of disappointment. I'm just telling you, from this, I've never believed in this run since Bill O'Brien was here, when it was Brian Hoyer come on down, and it was Brock Osweiler come on down, and it was Ryan Mallett come on down. And they had a quarterback to first into the last 2 years, really, because you got to give a little bit on Deshaun's rookie year, especially he got injured. I, even with Deshaun the last 2 years, and they've had some great players, I have never, ever, ever, ever thought that this was a Super Bowl winning team, or a chance, or a team that had a chance to get to a Super Bowl, therefore to be to the place where I've given up on it. They have. I feel like they're on the climb. They went and got a good quarterback who they drafted, and in 3 years, he is a step away from the AFC Championship game, which the Texans have never been. Like, he's a step, like, that seems like the natural step. And I can get the frustration, but tell me, am I off? Does this sound like a fan base that has been above 500 in the postseason 4 out of 6 years? It sounds like the Browns. It sounds like the Bengals. That's what it sounds like to me. And it doesn't sound like a team that's, I'm just so frustrated. And you can't drive by the stadium, is you're just embarrassed of the product that's being put out there. Have they been putting out an embarrassing product like that? I'm just trying to learn, Wade. I'm just trying to get it.
You asked the question earlier when you said, you know, how often or how many times did the Texans fans really truly believe that they'd win a Super Bowl or they had a team that could get there? Earlier in the same season, when they beat Kansas City on the road, when they beat the Patriots, there was kind of those games that you mark on your calendar that if you go out and win those games, people are going to perk up and say, hey, we got some here. And those things happen, and OB and the Texans passed those tests. And so they believed. But then the problem is you have those really high points in the season, and then you backdoor them with performances against Jacksonville the first time, or against, the Denver Broncos that time where you got blown out at home. And so people get tired of being yo-yoed around. You know what I mean? It's very difficult for you to have a positive outlook on things when week to week you're getting yo-yoed around on the type of team that you're playing and the level that you play at. And then the following week you play down and absolutely terrible against a team that's just not at your caliber. And so you add that to, I'm just telling you, that breakdown against the Kansas City Chiefs, that hurt. Like I don't even really like talking about it, because that hurt tremendously, because you know that 99 out of 100 times the Houston Texans are supposed to win that ball game, because you're up 24-0 in the playoffs. Your offense is supposed to be good enough, and your defense is supposed to be good enough to hold on, and you score enough points to at worst lose that ball game 37-34. You know what I mean? Like, but you're going to figure out a way to win that game. And it didn't go that way, and it went so bad the opposite way. I don't even remember the final score. That's how bad it was. When bad things happen to me, I put them out of my head. You got to have next play mentality. I don't remember the score, but I know it was lopsided. And so for you to go from such extremes, it's very, very difficult to deal with. And so I get it. Like I said, I don't agree with it, but I get it.
That one, would you agree? That one was the first kick in the nuts. Like, in the 6 years, right, that was the – like, when you lost at home to Indianapolis, that was – you were annoyed and borderline embarrassed with the performance. But if you said, we're going to lose to Andrew Luck and the Colts, we know T.Y. Hilton does a number on us every time he plays us. There's not a Then, you know, that's the first big one. The other ones, you went to New England and you got your ass handed to it. But with Brock Osweiler as the quarterback.
But see, that game, that game, though, was not a bad game. There was key drops in that ball game. The Texans defense played well enough to win that game. You got very close. I don't think Texans fans are necessarily mad about that loss.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't, like, that's not a heartbreaker.
No.
Not like the Kansas City is the first, to me, the first heartbreaker. I may be off. But since Oilers? right? So in this city, since where you were just like gut-wrenched. I know another heartbreaker with Kansas City in like 93 where Warren Moon and them, they had the lead. And in the second half, they allowed the Chiefs to come back when Keith Cash threw that ball at Buddy Ryan's face. And the Chiefs came back and went, that was a heartbreaker. I won't bring up Buffalo. Those were kicking the nuts. But I just think it's like they've been winning. They've been winning without good quarterbacks. They got a good quarterback. They've taken the natural steps, gotten further each year. They had their first heartbreak kick at the nuts. 6 years, this coach has been here. He's had a winning record 5 of the 6 years. He's won the division 4 times. You can't drive past the stadium. That don't add up. That don't add up.
From outside looking in, you're exactly right. From outside looking in, it doesn't add up. But if you're in it through the day-to-day and you're seeing how things look, because like you mentioned, some of those division championships that were won when the quarterback play was not where it needed to be, I had a lot of respect for Bill O'Brien as a coach and what he did with some of those ball clubs because he didn't have the talent level than what he's had over the past couple of years. But the thing is, now he has that talent level. You have that talent level and you're sending the talent away. And you're sending talent away, but also you didn't capitalize on the talent that you had. And so people think to themselves, is this the guy to get us over the top? Is this guy is good enough to keep us in it? But he's never going to get us over the top. That's the worry. And being in purgatory is the worst place that you can be. Hey, mm-hmm. Either put me in heaven or put me in hell. You know what I mean? I know where I stand. This is why this whole pandemic thing has been such a kick in the cojones, because you've been sitting down trying to figure out, are they or are they not going to let us do this, allow us to do this? Are we going to have the ability to go back to school in the fall? Are we going to play sports? Are we going to have Major League Baseball? There's a lot of limbo. There's a lot of uncertainty. People don't deal with uncertainty well. I'm one of those people. I don't like uncertainty. You know what I mean? So I just – that's just what you're getting right now from the Houston Texans. There's a lot of uncertainty. It's just like I mentioned in the first segment of like, listen – Bill O'Brien has set it up in a way right now that if things go right, he can stand on the table and say, you know what, I told you so. But there's so much uncertainty because all the evidence says that these moves that you're making don't make sense and they're not going to work. And so that's where people are, and that's why people get frustrated with it. But there's a lot of people, there's a lot of fans that, regardless of that frustration, are still going to come out. That 25%. Those prices, listen, the secondary market, people that have season tickets that have opportunity to get those tickets to go to NRG, whether it gets up to 25% capacity or 50%, whatever that may be, those tickets are going to be the hottest thing in the city smoking. And there's going to be a huge demand of people getting into the game. People want to see the Texans play. But I get it why that there are fans that are like, man, the hell with the Texans. It sucks.
713-572-4610. I'll take some calls. And I'm just trying to get an understanding. I just want to learn. And Wade is helping me out to understand. He's played for the Texans. He's lived it. He's been here. I'm just trying to get an understanding. Like, my man, I thought he was calling to come and talk about the big news about Governor Abbott saying that the state of Texas is now not only can continue with professional sports being able to play games here, but also going to a point of 25% of fans could be allowed in stadiums. And that is big news. I thought he was coming to talk about that. Then he just told me he can't drive past the stadium. He's so disgusted. And I'm just trying to understand what the Texans have done does not match that type of to that place. That just seems like bags over your head teams. Like the Saints, like of the old years, that type of deal, and I don't see that. Now I'm gonna tell you, when they drafted Deshaun Watson, Wade, right then and there, you looked at the roster, you looked at kind of the culture that was built. It was like it's go time.
Yeah,
it's go time. Now it's serious. You've been able, and I think the expectations and your and what you believe this team should be should rise. Right? Because you got the piece you needed. All right? It was one thing you were rolling with Brock Osweiler and being carried by Watt and that defense. But now it happened. Now you got the quarterback. And over the next 3 years, this should be a team competing for a championship. Now Now you roll into that. Now you roll it. And I will say that I'm seeing this on the text line. I can understand the DeAndre Hopkins move really as the punch in the gut, as you said, following up that blown lead. I can see that, but all right, man, I'm just trying to get an understanding of how you've arrived to that place, or maybe many of you aren't there. Maybe many of you are excited and ready to go for the next step, which is that. But I'm really surprised. I've just not heard an organization have the success that it's had in the last 6 years and then have that mindset from its fan base. It's just an interesting thing. Just an interesting thing. All right, Brian and Katie Wade, he's going to help me understand. Go ahead, Ryan. Excuse me.
How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I understand where Stafford guy's coming from. Every fan takes things differently. I get that. But I think Wade hit it on the head, and love y'all's conversation about it, getting in-depth about it. But he hit it on the head. You know, that Kansas City loss last year was a huge blow for us, and it was a heart, it was a gut wrencher. I get that. You know, in the fan base, from an economic standpoint, that was a good move for the Hopkins. You know, 3 years left on the deal. That's from an ownership standpoint, but that's not from what the fans want to see. The fans want to see arguably the best wide receiver in the game. Get the deal done. Do what you got to do. This dude has exceptional hands. One of the best receivers in the game. We want to move forward, and let's get the deal done. I know it's not temporary what the Texans like to do normally, but it is what it is, and we have to move forward. But I'm excited for it, and I'm definitely – if I can get my hand on a pair of tickets, I'm definitely going to be there to support them.
So, Ryan, you're not at the place where you can't drive past NRG yet?
No, absolutely not. But okay. Everybody's different. I get it.
I get you. All right, man. All right. One way we're looking at – as I said, Wade, I think the next step, and I go with what they've said – I think the next step for the Texans is to get to an AFC championship game. To me, I've said I think the season is a disappointment if they don't get there because I think they have the pieces there. And one thing that I love about this team is the potential of how this offense could be, Wade. And I think this offense should be an offense that puts so much pressure and stress on defenses that all the time you can never rest. You always have something in your mind. They've got guys on the outside, multiple guys, who can excel in taking the top off. They've got guys in the backfield that can catch balls, that can do a lot of different things, that can present matchup problems that make you probably have to change your personnel. They've got a good slot receiver. And Wade, something me and you've talked about, this is the best offensive line they've had since, hell, you were there. And this group, to me, should constantly be stressing defenses and defensive coordinators with their quarterback and their weapons. That is something that I would love to see this offense be able to take on.
Yeah, man, when you look at the offense, they got all the horses they need. They got all the pieces that you need in order for you to have a top eight, top five offense in the NFL. They got them. They got the quarterback, first and foremost, what you need. They got a line that could protect them. And then they got a bunch of skilled players around them that if you get them the ball and you distribute it to them correctly, they're going to be able to take advantage of defenses and keep them on their heels and be able to dictate to them. And so you're right. That's something that you should have that expectation. The problem is this, is that we've seen over the years that from week to week, you don't get the same performance out of the Texans offense that you might think that you should get. You might see one week where you utilize Duke Johnson tremendously. You know, you brought him in here. You know this guy can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run the ball as well. And then he might have two or three touches. And one week he might have 15 touches. The next week he has three. And so it gives you pause. It's like, all right, we got all these weapons around us. Are we going to use them right? That's the thing. It's all going to come down to Tim Kelly. Does Tim Kelly fully get the reins? And then does he utilize his weapons to the best of their ability? Because if he does, the offense is going to be damn good. They got too many really good pieces put together for it not to be good. You know, they have enough pieces to say this, we can go on a run with the personnel we have in the building. And so as a player, that's what you want to have. You want to be able to say, you know what, the guy to my left and my guy to my right, I know if I do my job, they're going to do their job and we're going to be successful. And so that's a place that you want to be. Now, as a player, what you want to know is, are we going to utilize our guys like we're supposed to utilize them? Once you get to that point, now you have a formidable offense and you know that you can dictate to whoever. It's just that concern because you've seen in the past where it didn't go that way, and there was really no legitimate reason why guys weren't utilized to the best of the ability, besides the fact that the whole game plan week-to-week offense. And a lot of times when you have that game plan week-to-week offense, you see a defense and you say, we're straight, we're Floyd Mayweather, we're Pernell Whitaker, we're counterpunching. We're not going to go out and attack people and dictate to what we want to do. We're going to see how they play us, and then we're going to react and respond. And some weeks that's going to be feast, and some weeks it's going to be famine. And I think that's the only thing that I think that could hold the Houston Texans offense back.
All right, I want to get to that because I feel like the Texans have made moves in the offseason to say maybe they've moved away from the game plan offense, because I agree, that's got to go. We'll get into that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.